better.
Live,
uncensored,
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
All right, and so is Kurt. Kurt Hyde. Yes, Kurt, continue, please.
Thank you. Hey, Rick, yeah, really, I read the sentence where, you know, you get this either 5 years in jail, mm-hmm, or $100,000 fine if, mm-hmm, you have the intent to prevent another person from exercising the right to vote, et cetera.
Right.
What this sentence does not say is, has the intent to knowingly prevent a United States citizen who is lawfully registered to vote, mm-hmm, from voting.
That's the key, what's left out.
Right.
Yes.
What if this were a state law that some state representative said that if you knowingly attempted to prevent a United States citizen who was lawfully registered to vote from voting, you know what I would say? I'd say, I agree with that. I could vote for it.
Right.
But his bill says, has the intent to prevent another person. Now, I used to be an election judge, and one of my jobs was to decide who could vote and who could not vote. And I also had to, if we turned people away, we had to, you know, document that. And we also had a lot of people filling out these provisional ballots, whatever. But, you know, if Osama bin Laden attempted to vote, and I was the, back when I was an election judge, and he attempted to vote in Corinth, Texas, when I was the election judge there, I am proud to tell you that I would do everything in my power to prevent him from voting. Okay? And, but he's a person. But he's not a United States citizen.
Mm-hmm.
He is not lawfully registered to vote anywhere in the United States, at least not that I know of. And see, this is the problem. When we pass laws saying to prevent another person, that could be an illegal alien.
Well, of course. Of course. Absolutely.
That's what's wrong with some of these laws. Because at first you think this law is a pretty good idea because, it's, you know, let's not intimidate people, whatever. But when you read this, you suddenly realize when this shows up in a court of law and you say, I wouldn't let him vote because he was an illegal alien, they said, according to this law, he's a person.
Well, again, that's an extension of the idea of one person, one vote.
Yeah, right. And the American Republic was not built on universal suffrage.
No, it was not.
It was built.
And rightfully so, by the way.
Very much rightfully so. And maybe sometime if we want to have a conversation about the history.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
Sometimes when I speak at
I'd love
places,
to.
I'll spend the whole time on what it was like in the forming of this country, because if you understand how the voting laws of this country were formed back in the colonial days,
mm-hmm,
and in the early days, let's say before 1850 or so,
mm-hmm,
if you understand that, you'll look at what's going on in Washington today and say, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between a republic and a democracy.
Oh, yes.
And that is when a nation becomes a democracy, that is where it begins to fall. And that is where we are now, and we're in that stage, you know, where anything and everything should vote, as they say, and it's always the campaign, get out the vote, get out the vote. And that phrase sickens the day out of me. I mean, it really gets me angry when I hear that, because it is a nebulous, meaningless, and very dangerous concept for people to go out and vote who should not be voting, who are not qualified to vote, and who haven't got a clue as to what they're voting on. And that's the tragedy. And that, I think that might be much more than 75% of the American populace today. And I hate to say it, but I mean, that's where we're at, in my view and in my mind. And that is the reason why you have these candidates who get elected, quote-unquote, and become part of the new system, perpetuating their dynasties and perpetuating themselves in office. You know, you look at the Kennedys, Massachusetts, and Ted Kennedy, and you can say, well, you know, look, the people of Massachusetts love Ted Kennedy. No matter who runs against him, that they'll always reelect Ted Kennedy. And that may be so, but I want to know how many voters voted for Ted Kennedy who shouldn't have been eligible in the first place, and how many didn't exist who voted for him as well. All right, we'll be back, and we'll take calls for Kurt Hyde, our election specialist here, and we'll be back with more. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Okay, we're back now, and we are just opening up a Pandora's box here of problems affiliated with voting, and I much would like to do that program with you on the meaning of voting, the very early stages of voting, and why we had a very limited, idea of the ballot in the beginning of the colonies in America, Kurt. Sometime I would like to do that interview with you. Definitely the franchise of the ballot, if you will.
Right.
Because that's a very important subject that, unfortunately, that totally has gone by the wayside today in all of the media reports. You know, they're so anxious to do away with what's left of the Electoral College. And you and I know, and I was just mentioning it last night, the Electoral College really has lost any real meaning whatsoever because it has not been applied the way it was legally meant to be.
That's right.
Applied. And the political parties have taken over the Electoral College and have taken over the role of the elector. So just contrary to what the Founding Fathers wanted, a party system, a partisanship, that's exactly what we have become. And this so-called salvation of America, the so-called two-party system, has been its curse as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You agree with me?
Oh, absolutely. The whole idea of the Electoral College was to, it was more like a search committee.
Mm-hmm.
Like a church is looking for a new pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You vote for a search committee. Let's say you and I both go to the same church, okay? And and someone says, hey, maybe Kurt ought to be on the search committee. And you say, should Kurt be on the search committee? Do I think Kurt would find a good new minister for our church? Yeah. Yes or no, that's how you would vote. I would not say, hey, vote for me because I want to vote for candidate John Jones, who's going to graduate this year from seminary. And that's exactly how...
Well, yeah, they're all politicians. The political parties have controlled the whole apparatus at the local level.
Not at the very beginning, but it
degenerated into. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and unfortunately, that was one of the first things to start getting degenerated in our republic was the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm. And you have people always calling for the abolition of the Electoral College and direct vote, direct democracy for president, which would be really and truly the final stages of a nation, because you and I know what that totally means. It means the destruction totally now of state sovereignty, which we already have to a pretty near complete end anyway. But this would put the nail in the coffin, I think.
Right. We need to be going in the right direction, not in the wrong. And that would definitely be one more step in the wrong
direction.
Yeah,
it would be. It would be the nail in the coffin, I think. Let's take a call for now. Those of you waiting on the line, 800-313-9443. We've got Barney in Maryland first. Hello, Barney.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, Barney.
I have a suggestion and
all right.
A question.
Sure.
First off, how are we going to keep Congressman Ron Paul alive now that he has decided to run for president? We know that the One Worlders have taken out congressmen and presidents and national leaders and everything else. And we tried to protect George Wallace, and they still got to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my suggestion is, I don't know how to fix it, but I made up a rubber stamp a few years back that I've got a lot of mileage out of, and it states those that cast the vote decide nothing. Those that count the vote decide everything. Joe Stallings.
Mm-hmm.
And I stamp a lot of my mail and my literature I give out, and it gets a lot of comments, favorable comments. I think everybody should make up these stamps. So they cost about 10 or 12 bucks.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'd like to disagree with you on a point, if I could, sir. And that is that in dictatorships, like let's say in Nazi Germany, in those kinds of elections, you know, Adolf Hitler ran all kinds of elections. He ran elections after elections after elections.
Yeah.
In his elections, it mattered not how the people voted. All that really mattered was who counted them. In fact, if you read about the famous Anschluss election, which was the election where the voters of Austria voted like over 99% to become part of the Third Reich, to become part of the Nazi Empire.
Mm-hmm.
But there were people who were trying to avoid voting, and the brown shirts were out there collecting them and forcing everybody to vote.
Well, we know, and
now, however, if I could just finish, if I could, in America, the way in which we have established, especially in the earliest days of our republic, where people would cast their paper ballots, they would put their paper ballots into glass containers to make sure there was no false bottom on them. And all of the casting of the ballots, all of the counting of the ballots was done in public. And if you go back to those elections, I care not who counts the votes just as long as the public can monitor it. So in a way, what you're saying is true, but in a way, I would beg to differ with you. And please give me your opinion, too. I don't want to just force myself on you.
Well, I tell you, we know that Lyndon Johnson stole the election because they had the ballots in hid in a bank, and they caused set them on fire. Remember that?
Yes, I think you're talking about ballot box 13 in Alice, Texas. And there was a confession on that, too, finally.
It wasn't just one election. There were many elections from his days in the Congress.
Yeah, well, you know...
The United States Senate.
Even when George Wallace ran against Brewster as a stand-in for Johnson... Well, I remember Governor McKeldin up on a stage on TV, and all the precincts were coming in, and everything was in favor of Wallace. And he says, unless that computer knows something I don't know, or mm-hmm. machine knows something I don't know, why, Wallace is the winner. And 5 minutes later, the machine comes out and says, Mercer was the winner. How you figure stuff like that. And all the police and all the telephone operators in in the central police headquarters where the ballots were coming in, they said they'd never seen anything come in in favor of Brewster or Johnson.
There are numerous opportunities for people to cheat in elections. It's not just in the ballot box. It's not just at the voter registration list level, which we have discussed in depth tonight. But you're also correct in that there are also people who are responsible for the canvassing totals. And they can make either accidental or deliberate math errors or transcription errors. That is also true.
It's going to take
That it can be done, and that's the reason why we need to have everything done in the open and to have people watching and to have watchdogs watching it.
It's going to take the top-notch people to correct this problem, I'll tell you that.
Yes,
okay,
but I'm trying.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call. Appreciate it, Barney. Where I am, where we're talking about legislation now, always to change the way we approach the election results with, in one case, we had ballots counted, we had judges intervene and rule in favor of candidates who were indeed suspicious and demanded a recount, even though there was a pretty wide margin of disparity because of the votes that were not counted properly or may not have been counted properly. Many of the votes, these absentee ballots and so forth. So these people said, well, we just can't go and recount every election and every office, including all of the members of the General Assembly, blah, 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 blah. That would be too expensive. And somehow that argument rings hollow to me.
It does ring hollow, and let me give you an example. In when I lived in New Hampshire, I worked as a ballot counter on an election night. And what we did was we emptied out those ballots on a long table.
Yeah.
It was a roped-off area, maybe, let's say, 6 or 8 feet away, where mm-hmm. anybody from the public could watch us. And the whole thing was done in front of people. And when you have things done like that, and number one, that's not expensive to do because the people don't get paid a lot of money to count votes. And they were smart about how they did it. They had a certain number of people there watching the polls all day. And then at night when it came time to count them, that's when they brought in all kinds of us so that there would be enough of us to count all those ballots quickly and to do it all in public.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that even in states where, as you know now, Diebold, the SNS, these big companies have control, they have these touchscreen voting machines, that as long as there is a backup, there is a paper trail that can be put into the law, do you think that's sufficient?
Well, not just a paper trail. And this is something that is coming out right now, and it's part of what is behind Rush Holt's bill and Bill Nelson's bill.
I understand, yeah.
And that is the fact that now, in addition to having the paper trail, we now realize that we have to start doing some auditing procedures. We need mm-hmm. to start checking up on it. And that's
right, but if we had all of that, would that be okay with you?
Well, certainly not if it's decreed at the federal level.
Uh-huh.
And also to repeal HAVA, and let's not try to force everybody in the United States to be using electronic equipment. Let's just face it, some of these small towns are better off with paper ballots.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that if the states had the choice, again, like they're supposed to have under the Constitution,
right?
Then I would say, and by the way, one of the things is that I do not agree with the way in which they want to go about these audits. I have developed my own way called a TAR, T-A-R.
Uh-huh.
Stands for Targeted Audit Recount. And what happens is when you do those recounts for people, you actually have a nomination process. Rather than have it done by these boards appointed by the government.
Appointed, yeah, yeah.
Instead, it's done primarily by the losing candidate.
Okay, hey, interesting point. We'll talk about that if we have time. We'll be right back. More calls just ahead. David, you'll be next. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. Our guest, Kurt Hyde. We're talking about elections. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a three-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Hitting them pretty hard and knocking them right out of the park. Rick Adams is on. Right on. On base, on point, on RBNLive.com.
Okay, we're back. And I should mention, by the way, if people wish to communicate with you, may they communicate with you with your email that I have?
Yes. Last time only one person did, but I sent it back a response. I think I copied you on it, too.
Okay, good, good. And that's Dr. Jekyll, right? D-R, small d, small r, dash, Jekyll, J-E-K-Y-L-L, at att.net?
Right.
How is that?
Right.
All right, that's if you wish to communicate. I mean, this isn't a very sexy subject either, you know.
That's
We're
right.
not talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But we are talking about the nuances and the basic trivia, if you will, about election laws and all of the important things that do matter in the course of a country and its demise. I mean, as we're in the stages now of an empire, rather than a republic. And, you know, the republic fell to a democracy first, and then the democracy becomes a dictatorship. And that's what happens in all too many cases. But
and I'd like to reverse that process, too.
Oh,
just like you.
God bless you. God bless you, Kurt. All right, let's take a call here now from David in Massachusetts, or should I say Taxachusetts. Hello, David.
Hello, how are you?
All right.
Good, David. How are you? Good. I have several interesting points to mention to you. Number one, you've talked about the Electoral College.
Uh-huh.
Former President Jefferson favored the abolition of the electoral vote along with Jackson. Now, I know that I've read this about Jefferson, and Jefferson's argument and Jackson was, too, that the average citizen should have the direct power to elect the president, and it shouldn't be delegated to this political class, which is chosen by the state legislatures. Virtually every state in the country that elects has the electoral vote, they all do, I think they're all elected by the, they're selected by the state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a political class, and I really don't see any need for these people. And every time the electoral vote showed a very close election in the history of this country, about four times of it, the Electoral College chose a person who had the least vote, the less votes of the two.
And the popular vote.
Yes.
All right.
Four times in the history of the country.
Let me allow for Kurt to respond first before I respond. But go ahead, Kurt.
Okay, as far as Jefferson being against the Electoral College, that I don't know, and I will take a look into that. But I would say, first of all, if you think it was nasty having Florida be as close as it was in 2000, can you imagine how difficult it would be to try to do a nationwide recount in a close election? Number two, the Electoral College actually represents the fact that every state is really allowed still, that the Constitution still allows this 100% for the states to choose who can vote and who can't. And by if you go into a popular vote for president, you are now going to encourage every state to have as many of its citizens voting, in other words, go for universal suffrage, rather than go for selective suffrage. And like I said, another one in there, too, is that right now the Electoral College at least compartmentalizes electoral fraud. No matter how much electoral fraud occurs in, let's say, Southern California with illegal aliens being allowed to vote, and California does have a lot of electoral votes, that still doesn't change Idaho's electoral votes. That still doesn't change Iowa's electoral votes. That still doesn't change New Hampshire's electoral votes. If you had one common pot nationwide of one big popular vote, then all you'd need to do would be to concentrate your electoral fraud in a couple of major cities
and be able
to throw the whole thing.
You wouldn't even have to campaign in most states.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, all that I can answer to that is this. When Roosevelt ran and Wilson, well, this is after the Civil War when the Democratic Party was the party of the South, you know, the solid Democratic South?
Mm-hmm. Solid as the South, as they used to say.
That's right. No Democratic president hardly campaigned in the South.
That's right.
Because of the electoral votes and the popular vote were wrapped up with the Democrats. So they, even the Democrats, like highly successful presidents, whether you like them or not, like Wilson, Roosevelt, they didn't hardly ever bother to campaign in the South. They campaigned in other areas of the country. Mm-hmm. And a Republican didn't bother with it because they couldn't win.
Well, now that's because because of the way the political parties have perverted the Electoral College system. It's the political parties that have the winner-take-all game. The original electoral votes were, in fact, there were even some, the U.S. Congress had a committee that suggested that the United States develop districts just in order that the states will stop doing the winner-take-all.
Well, it was supposed to be proportionate, wasn't it? To the
At some people suggested proportionate, and some people also suggested districts.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it would not be a winner-take-all.
Well, the way the way it is now, it's a winner. Virtually every state is winner take
all. Almost, not quite, but yeah, that's true.
That's right.
And if you had just 51% then of the vote, say, well, he's going to get all the electoral votes. And to me, that's not the way it was intended to be.
It wasn't
if,
the way.
If you want to hang on, Dave, you can, because we really didn't give you much time, all right?
All right.
We'll be right back to toss this around a little bit. I'm Rick Adams. Join us if you'd like to. There's an available line at 800-313-9443. Be right back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years, with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Okay, and we're back now, and we are with our guest, Kurt Hyde, and with him, we've got David in Massachusetts. And you're both making some points about the history of the Electoral College, but the thing that I keep thinking back to really is, in my view, the best Electoral College system really would be one where, like we used to have with the senators being appointed by the state legislatures until the that was abolished by the Congress and the states in 1913, you know, to a direct election of senators. I think it would be, in my view, you may laugh at this, but I think that there's no reason why we could not have extended that through the Electoral College to have the electors from the states, in effect, decide regardless of the popular vote, to decide that they would vote, the state legislatures with their electors would vote for president, and that would decide the election. Now, that's what more or less we're supposed to have, but we don't. We don't really have that anymore. It's all parties. It's political parties. And rather than a democracy, I'd rather see a more Republican form of government where the state legislatures would really be in control more of the presidency. What we have now is a democracy, and you know, in 1948, Truman won by taking the stand of getting America involved again in world affairs, like Wilson, by recognizing Israel and winning over those electoral votes, which turned out to be a disaster for the United States. So, I don't know, that's just my view of the situation and how it should work, but I'm sure that I would be outnumbered and outvoted, Kurt.
Rick, and again, we don't want to leave Dave out of this conversation, but I read some of the remarks.
All right, go ahead, Dave. You speak first. Go ahead.
Okay, concerning your remarks in 1948 about Truman, where
yes.
he, you know, his recognition of Israel because of...
To get the electoral votes.
The Jewish vote.
Right.
On the other hand, I look at it this way. In the Suez War of 1956, Eisenhower sided with Khrushchev, and they both come out against Britain, France, and Israel, who invaded Egypt.
Right.
90% of the Jewish vote in this country went for Stevenson, and yet Eisenhower still carried the states where the Jewish vote was most concentrated, New York, California, and Florida. There might be other states, but Eisenhower still carried those states, and although 90% of the Jewish vote went for Stevenson, it didn't stop Eisenhower. He won a big victory.
Yeah, but I still don't see how that helped American foreign policy, because we were more committed than ever to the Middle East after that point.
It
may have been a temporary tactical move on the part of Eisenhower playing the other side of the dialectic, but really, it if anything, was the beginning of a massive involvement in the Middle East, and then we got involved in Iraq, you see, and we got involved with Mossadegh in Iran. So, I mean, it really is one of internationalism versus nationalism, I think. That's my opinion, but that's all right. Let Kurt comment now. Go ahead, Kurt. What were you going to say in response?
Well, actually, what I was going to say was that in the very first election for president, when George Washington won his first term, to the best of my knowledge, only three states picked their electors via popular vote. I believe the others were appointed by the legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
You see, right now, it is up to the state to decide, and right now all the states put it to an election where the people vote. But believe it or not, according to the electoral, the U.S. Constitution, every state legislature has that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another thing. If it weren't for these other items I want to talk about, I would like to talk more about the electoral vote. But I do want to mention this, that I think it would be very good to have a federal law. Do you agree with this or not? In which the Congress would force the computer companies, if they want to use computers, that all of the secrets of the computer manufacture, design, repair, operation would have to be revealed to the people in the cities and the counties and the towns and the states. They couldn't have any reservation to themselves, which is called proprietary information. It would be outlawed.
That's an interesting question for you, Kurt.
Yes.
How do you feel about that federal law?
Well, actually, I belong to the Open Voting Systems Consortium.
Okay.
Which is designed to come up with an open system which is totally open, like you said, with no proprietary information in it at all. I would disagree with you on only one point, and that is the federal. I don't think we need a federal law. I think that belongs at the state level. But I really do agree with you that a law saying that if you're going to use a computer to count votes, to collect votes, to tally, to do whatever you do with the votes, to make sure that it is an open system, no proprietary secrets in how it runs. Yes,
well,
I would agree with that, but at the state level rather than federal.
Okay, if you have one more question we'll give you. David, go ahead.
Okay, the final question then is this. I do think that the voters list should contain every legal voter, and there should be no people who are reserved secret reservations, such as government employees, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I understand now there's some states that allow a voter registration where people who have certain jobs in the government, they could be legal voters, but they're not listed. I don't think that this is legal, if that's true.
Mm.
Everybody should be listed who's a registered voter.
We actually discussed something like that a few moments ago, David, where out in California, I discovered that California does allow for a certain number of people to be secret registrants. And I said then that I absolutely, absolutely opposed to any secrecy in the voter registration list. If you really want to keep it a secret where you live, then thank you, but you'll have to respect the sanctity of the election, and therefore you should not register to vote.
Well,
it should always be that should be available to everybody. That is a public thing, res publica. Very important to keep our freedoms and to keep our elections honest.
Right. One more thing, David. Now, you're from the great state of Massachusetts. I'm sure you would not suspect there has been very much fraud in the election of the Kennedys, would you?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there's been fraudulent elections as long as the country's been around. I mean,
but not in Massachusetts.
I would not say that Massachusetts is any different than any other state. I mean,
there's
probably been fraudulent elections in every state from 1796 when they had the first election.
Mm-hmm.
How about from the 1600s when they had their first elections?
Yeah, there you go. All right. How about Plymouth Colony, huh? All right. Thank you, David. Good points, though. Very good
night,
points
David.
He brought
thank
up.
You.
Yeah, very interesting. I'm glad he did bring them up. Yes, there's always a difference of opinion with what works the best. And, you know, my whole premise, I think yours is too, Kurt, is not just what is best in terms of what we can live with, but what is right and what is just and what makes for the prevention of a dictatorship. And the dictatorship, you know, through the ballot box is a dictatorship nonetheless. In other words, a nation can vote itself into a dictatorship, but very rarely, if ever, does it vote itself out of one, you know?
Yeah. And that's I've never heard of them voting themselves out of one.
Well, that's the thing that is the most frightening thing in history, is you can vote yourself in, but you're not going to vote yourself out. And, you know, like happened in Chile under Pinochet, where the communist, the Allende, was never really elected. He was appointed. And, you know, with a 36% vote margin, and then began to act as the dictator that he was. Started to nationalize industry and ring up inflation to 1,000, 10,000%, devalue the dollar, confiscate property, you know. All of this supposedly through an election process. And what happened then? You know what happened, the coup d'etat.
Right.
And unfortunately, there aren't many examples, certainly not behind the Iron Curtain, where people were able to extricate themselves once they got themselves in to a dictatorship. But the most frightening dictatorship is one that comes about through the ballot box. And, you know, it's ironic that at a time where more people are voting than ever before, more so-called participatory democracy, that we are less free now than we have ever been in many respects, my friend.
That's right. Because, see, it's actually the middle class that votes for freedom.
Yes, historically that's been the case.
The middle class. And when you mentioned that, one of the things that you brought to my mind was Adolf Hitler, the Nazis, where they were requiring people to vote. See, dictators love universal suffrage.
Mm-hmm.
They want those people who are more interested in, well, whatever's going on.
Well, they're pretty sure of victory because of the conditions that they, you know, they came about, exploited the conditions for whatever reason, good or bad, and they managed to come to power because of fear. And it's ironic that here in America today, we've got Bush pointing the finger at Chavez and Chavez pointing the finger at Bush, and I say they're both alike. They're kissing cousins. I mean, when you think about it, both of them have so much in common.
Yes.
Both are engaging in the tactics of demagoguery, creating a police state at home, increasing the size and scope of government while pointing overseas to another enemy. And those are just the beginners.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you're not wrong. You're absolutely right on that. And I think that, in my opinion, it all comes from an abandonment of the original Constitution and how we have allowed voting to be taken and given as a universal suffrage. That isn't the cause, but that certainly has helped precipitate the problem. I think the cause is that people over the years have just lost sight of what is liberty, what is freedom.
Well, do you realize that right now,
yeah.
I talk to people about elections, and I've been studying them on my own and doing a lot of research. And people are saying, what, no one is talking about it? No one's teaching it in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I can still remember, and oddly enough, I was born in Texas, and I live in Texas, but mm-hmm. I was raised in New England. And I was in a conservative town, and I can remember that they were teaching us in school of what a punishment it was on the South to put almost universal suffrage in for voting.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, if you get selfish voters who just want to vote themselves something, when you give them the vote, what kind of politicians do they elect?
Mm-hmm.
The same kind that they are. And that was considered a punishment on the South. And it was only after the compromise of the election, the presidential election of 1876, that the deconstruction or reconstruction was finally ended. And the states were once again allowed to pick who could vote and who could not vote.
Well, there you go. It was voting at the point of a gun and a bayonet. And
right.
The occupied South.
It was an occupied South, and it was a forced radical republicanism. And back then, the Republicans were more liberal, if we use today's standards of liberal and conservative.
Oh, they were communists, yeah.
Yeah, they were the ones who were for the centralization of power and all that.
And not only that, but whites were disenfranchised, and blacks who were not literate were escorted to the ballot box, you know?
Right, and he also had, the literacy was one of them.
Yeah.
Another one was that anybody who had served in the military
mm-hmm.
under the Confederacy
right.
or who had helped them materially was ineligible to vote.
Exactly.
And so, therefore, you really had the true middle class. It's like people, you know. What if we were to say today, all our people who came back from Iraq, we said, well, you know, you can't vote because you served in Iraq. I mean, that's essentially how the Southern people felt.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, and I was taught that when I was in school, but that has been left out of our schooling. And I blame our educational system for part of our problems in here, too.
That's the great public school system of Karl Marx, and that's the way it's created to behave, and it's the way it's behaving, unfortunately. Before we run out of time, too, we do have an open line. Somebody does have a last-minute question. We've covered a lot of ground, but I know that you're going to give us a little teaser. And you're going to mention that you are writing an article coming up in a couple of weeks in the New American on the subject of the fraud of identity theft or something to that effect?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to talk about what's going to be in a magazine before it comes out. I'm
right,
not sure.
But you are going to deal with the subject, right?
But I'm going to acknowledge that everything you just said is true. There is a... Right, in a couple of weeks it will be coming out in the New American showing.
And then we can talk about it more. I want to
yeah.
have you back, yeah, because...
And I think it will be, it's very eye-opening. It is very eye-opening. And a lot of the causes of it are in the government. It's not the victim's fault.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised. Why am I not surprised that once again, here we are, the government that helps create a problem comes along and then, you know what, offers a solution.
Yeah.
They're going to play the good cop, bad cop syndrome, huh?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Well, anyway, that's something we're going to deal with. Also, you mentioned Mr. Sanchez to me privately, and I'd like to get him on the show. And he's talking about the loss of American jobs across the board, not just the manufacturing jobs. And this also ties in with everything we've been talking about tonight, because if we don't have honest elections, or elections that we can put our stake in and trust, then we know darn right well that everything else is going right by the wayside.
Yes.
Everything.
That's right.
The whole country, jobs, security, the business community, the local, you know, here in my state, your state, it's the same everywhere. They're worried about how to keep jobs in the state, how to keep the budgets balanced and so forth. When we have an influx of illegals, we have an exodus of industry and businesses, and we're seeing a total complete diminution of the base, that is the manufacturing base, the technology base, all of these businesses, and we're left with five and tens, as they used to say, you know, the little department stores and retailing outfits, and that will never sustain an economy anywhere in a nation like this.
And not only that, the moral fiber of our country is going downhill too.
Well, that's the cause of it, in my opinion. That's the, you know, that follows the moral decay.
Right, the moral decay. And I can remember when people used to say, well, Americans don't act like that. Mm. Or America is a Christian nation.
Yeah,
that didn't necessarily mean it was a Catholic Christian or a Lutheran Christian or a Baptist Christian. So we didn't have any specific denomination. But I can remember when we said Americans don't act like that.
Mm.
We went through all of World War II without blocking off Pennsylvania Avenue so people couldn't drive up to the White House.
Mm.
We went through an entire war without having to, let's say, blockade the road and all that kind of stuff.
Well, this is the new world order. Welcome to it. All right, just be back to sum up, and we'll do that in 3 minutes. Stay where you are, Kurt, and we'll do that when we return on Uncensored Radio, Free America, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Rick Adams, your Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com. at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073, or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
All right, and we are back now to sum up the program on this subject of elections. May be boring to somebody, but I know to me I'm just as interested as a fly in a nudist colony. You realize that, Kurt Hyde? That's
like
how interested I am.
Colony.
Huh?
Like a mosquito in a nudist.
Well,
colony.
Either way, I mean a mosquito or a fly or even a snapdragon, whatever, on the protected species list now. But we'll do it. We'll be there. We don't know where to begin, but we know what we ought to do. I just wanted to again remind people that if somebody wishes to get more information from you, or if you have a mailing list, they can just do that by emailing you.
Yes, they can. And you know something?
What's that?
I would like to hear from David again in Massachusetts.
Because yeah.
During the break, I remembered something that he said.
Okay.
And that is that he said that in some states, they're saying that government employees were going to have secret voter registrations.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that have come out in some of these books have been that it's been the people who worked for the government who are being, like, ordered to, like, have fictitious roommates and do all that, and that would be a reason why we'd want to make sure that people could not have secret voter registration if they work for the government. So if David wants to get in touch with me, either through you or via my email or whatever, I'd like to talk to him more about
contact
that.
Contact you directly, and it's drjekyll@att.net. That's drjekyll@att.net, and his name is Kurt with a K. Kurt Hyde, not Dr. Jekyll, but Kurt Hyde. I just find this fascinating, this program, because it cuts to the heart and soul of what this country is supposed to be all about. And I do want to spend even an hour sometime with you just to talk about the way it was before this business of changing the ballot, the franchise of the ballot, to a suffragette movement, even before women's suffrage movement began, and the business of one man, one vote, because people have these awful images of a terribly racist and bigoted country. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so much of that is totally and completely fictitious.
Yes.
And I know you know that. And I'd like to dispel some of those myths sometime.
Yep. Well, how about a quick wrap-up, did you say?
A quick wrap-up. You got a minute and a half.
Okay. My quick wrap-up would be this. It's the same thing I said last time I was on your show. If we want honest and accurate elections, which I sure hope we do.
And I hope so, too.
We don't just want to concentrate on the equipment. We have to make sure the equipment works right. We have to make sure there's a paper trail. But we also have to make sure that we stop the fraudulent voter registration type of electoral fraud as well. And so I would say whatever we do, that to remember that you can't just do one, and the solution to fraudulent registrations is not the national ID card. It's just make it legal to keep the voter registrations list honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you.
That's
on that
summation.
I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. And whether it's too late in the game, I don't know, but it's never too late to try. And I appreciate you being on the show for the whole 2 hours. Thank you very much. And, Kurt, we'll talk again, all right?
Okay, Rick.
All right. We'll be in touch, and we'll get you a hard copy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for this Friday night edition of the program. Back again, God willing, Monday evening for another edition of Uncensored Radio Free America with yours truly. And stay tuned to RBN, Frank Whalen coming up, and much more all the time. Keep it here, rbnlive.com. Rick Adams, good night, and have a blessed good weekend.
You got headaches?